Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the D3 head.
D3. He'll explain it in a second. He always does. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What about this time?
This time we're not going to be playing games.
No, but we've been doing that a lot.
But we got a lot of live plays out there. That is true. This time, we're going to be talking about what them dice do.
Going to math class. Buckle up, idiots. We tricked you at school.
Yeah, but that, like... Door wasn't closed. Not, like, super hard school because, like, we tried to, like... Oh, let's actually get some math in this episode. And then it had been a while since we actually did some math.
Yeah, we kind of figured it out. But also, like, it's not that interesting radio, so we're going to talk a little bit abstractly. Without like, a ton of hard numbers and more, like, the mathematic principles. But we did think it was a topic worth exploring because dice being the kind of, like, primary... method of computation in pen and paper role-playing games, especially for game masters, but for players too, it's good to kind of understand a little bit the math behind it. So you sort of understand when a thing is being asked for, what is actually at play, like what is going on under the hood.
The design of when you call for a dice roll, what dice you use, how you modify that roll, is all an interesting game design thing, and something worth talking about.
Yeah, the better you understand it, the better you can do stuff with it.
Mm-hmm. So, we're going to talk about just ability checks in general, and because those are like the main dice roll.
Yeah.
Right. Then talk about the concept of this little thing called advantage. It takes many different names across systems, like in our original role-playing system, Afterlife. It takes the name of radiance, and it works differently.
Treated than a little differently.
Traditional advantage. excuse me. Then we're going to talk about dice pools. When you have multiple dice, how does that change things? And then damage. The other
dice for damage.
Usual, the other main dice roller besides ability checks. So, ability checks. There's basically two kinds. I mean, there's probably others, right? Just like everything. And something we always say is, you know, this is our experience and our knowledge.
Well, there's games like one of the Star Wars games uses D6s, but they're not like the faces aren't 1 through 6. They're a number of different symbols, and they're not weighted like, you know, 1 in 6 chance. So we're not really talking about that sort of thing. We're talking about the use of just like polyhedral dice that are numbered 1 through whatever.
I mean, I think that actually counts because it's like, oh, you need 3 blasters to blast the guy, right? So that would be an over the target roll, right? There's a target number.
I guess, yeah, technically.
And that's... you're looking to meet or exceed it, right? Like the classic D&D difficulty rating. That's a target to roll for.
Yeah.
Right? And you use a modified roll. Like how many dice you have is also a modifier, but you can modify it with your stat. Like I have proficiency in slashy stabby sword.
Yeah.
So I get to add that to my dice roll.
Right.
Right. To help me get over that target.
And I guess specifically talking about Dungeons and Dragons, that's basically always done with a D20. So it's broken up. You have a 5% chance of rolling any number on the D20. So depending on what the difficulty is and what your modifier is, you can calculate pretty easily in increments of 5% how likely it is for you to succeed at something.
Now, this will be on the test, so remember that. A D20 is a 5% chance to roll any number at any time. Mm. Right? So the other type of ability check is the under-target ability check, right? So instead of trying to meet or exceed a number with a dice roll, you are trying to roll under that.
Mm-hmm. There's a... We recently played Mothership, and there's a handful of other fairly well-known systems that use a roll-under system. And I think there's something kind of really cool and elegant about it, because... Your stat value is your target difficulty, except you're trying to roll under instead of over. That's cool. You've eliminated the multiple things, and you don't have a modifier. Like, how the modifier in Dungeons & Dragons is calculated is sort of just like a, I don't know, this is how they first did it. And nobody really knows what the formula was in the first place to get, like, oh, if you have a 15, that's a plus... two or three, I forget what it actually is.
But I would imagine it comes down to some sort of math.
Right.
Right.
But they didn't tell us how they did it, and it just, you know, it's convoluted. You don't use your 15 strength value. You use the modifier for your strength value to the, so your actual attribute value doesn't actually play into your dice roll. The modifier does, which can be modified again by a number of other things. And there's just, I don't know, there's a certain elegance to the roll under system, because if your stats are like a value out of 10, you roll a D10, and the stat is also the target difficulty at all times. It's pretty cool.
It makes it's elegant. I like that word, because you just know a little bit more about how your character is going to interact with the world that way, then, like, yeah, I have a strength of 15. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
But if you, you know, are doing this roll under...
We know it means, like, a plus two, a plus three, but we really don't know how
If you're not a game master, you don't know how strong that is compared to, like, the most monsters. Like, are most monsters stronger than 15?
Right.
Right? Where do you sit? But if... you're using this, you know, stat value is like the target difficulty to roll under. Say it's out of 100. If you have a strength of 80, you know you're pretty fucking strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because 80 out of 100 is pretty fucking strong.
It's most of it. Which means you only have a 20% chance of failing at a strength-based check of some kind, whatever that, you know, might be. And it might be further modified by skills and stuff after the fact. Or after the initial strength value, or by, you know, stuff in the field. But anyway, yeah. So those are the two types of ability checks, basically. Is a target roll that you're trying to meet or beat, or the roll under system. Certain elegance to the roll under system. But there's also another thing to roll under that has always kind of bugged me, is that just, like, the fact that you want a bad, you know, quote, dice result.
Well,
like, if you're doing it with the D20, right, well, the 1 suddenly becomes the good one, and the 20 is the bad, and so you want a bad, quote-unquote, dice result in every other situation, because, you know, when you roll damage or whatever, you want to roll high, you want to roll the most. You want to roll the most amount of dice with the highest amount of... You want to roll the highest in most other situations. And that's the only thing that's, like, weird about the roll-under system.
It takes some getting used to.
But it doesn't actually change the math of any of it. Because it's still, you know, with a D20, it's still 1 in 20, or you know, 5% likelihood of any result...
of rolling that one.
...any given roll.
Which is what I like about it, because, right, we're so conditioned to be like, higher number, better, higher number, better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, doesn't have to be that way. Lower number, better.
Lower number.
And it's
better.
Like, wait a second, lower number better. And it doesn't change the math at all. It's not like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have such a hard time rolling that, you know, those ones and threes. You're going to have the exact same chance of rolling those ones and threes than 18s and 20s.
It does kind of put you in the headspace of that. Because, like, the Warhammer Fantasy systems mostly been a D100 roll under. So your stat values are, like, out of 95. They don't fully go to 100 because they want...
Right. Because having no chance at failure is lame.
Right. There always has to be, you know, some chance of failure. But those have been that way for a long time. And you're like, okay, so, you know, out of 100, there's a 1% chance at any given time for any possible result on a D100. And you start thinking about that. Or, you know, another system, a D10, a D20. You start thinking about the likelihood of rolling any given result every single time you roll it, and how those results are not dependent on each other. They, you know, that probability resets every single time you roll the dice, even though, you know, we put our dice in jail when they roll bad, you know, a couple of times.
And like, don't touch my dice. Yeah. You're going to get your ick on it.
But when you know, in playing a roll under system, you kind of get away from that idea that, oh, the higher number is the better number. Mm-hmm. Well, all the numbers are the same. They all are, you know, the same likelihood of happening in any instance,
right,
which is why we use dice for this computation in these sorts of games.
And how the game is designed and what it's asking for makes the dice roll good or bad, or the numbers good or bad in context, right? So, like, maybe you have some weird system that calls for... I don't know, has some weird, like, if you get an 8 to a 14 on the D20, that's success. All other numbers, fail.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting design. But you could work it out so it's the same statistical probability of, like, you know, a difficulty 12 system where everything above a 12 on a D20 is a success.
Yeah.
But you could make it a specific set of numbers. You just got to do the math. Interesting concept I just thought of, I think.
Yeah. It's good to think about. You start to get away almost from, like, the superstition about you know, results. And, yeah, the idea that, like, higher numbers are necessarily better. Well, yes, situationally. But the... you know, the likelihood and the value of one versus the other. That's
right. So, all right.
Yeah, it doesn't change. Anyway, ability
thing,
checks.
The important thing about ability checks that I want to touch on before we move on is, so when you roll a dice, there's a probability of getting a number, right? It doesn't matter, like, the order of the numbers on the dice, like, some people think that, you know, is important, where, oh, well, like, this isn't a true dice because, you know, the 1 is next to the 20.
Yeah. Or the 1 isn't opposite the 6 on a D6. Yeah, that's traditionally how they're
built. Like, sure, that made, dice whatever. Isn't legal in Vegas.
Right. But it doesn't actually change the
probability. For your purposes on the table,
yeah,
it's still a 1 out of 6 chance of rolling that 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a 1 out of 20 chance of rolling that 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers around it also have a 1 out of 20 chance of being rolled.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, like, you know, easy way to calculate odds of a dice is you take the number of faces and you put a 1 on top of it. So the chances of rolling a 6 on a D10, Cosmo, what are the chances of that?
A 1 in 10.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move on to advantage?
Yeah.
Which shakes things up, right? So you think, oh, if I have a difficulty 12 system where I roll a D20 and try to get over 12 for success, you have a set statistical probability of rolling, right? So a 12 through 20 gets you a success. How many faces is that? Pop quiz.
Eight. Well, no, nine.
Nine.
Yeah, nine, yes. Sorry. Because the number itself also counts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a 9 out of 20 chance of success.
Mm.
Now, what happens when you roll two dice? And that's what advantage is. So classic advantage is you roll two dice and you take the higher number. And then the opposite of that is disadvantage, which is roll two dice and take the lower number.
Mm-hmm.
So that works really well to fuck around the probability. It has a very big impact. In fact, mathed out.
Yeah. It it comes to about 25% or equivalent to, with a d20, a plus 5.
Which is a huge modifier.
Yeah, which is a huge modifier. So what it is, you know, the everyone is a 5% chance, and then all of those 5% that would be successes, added together, you're just as likely to roll them again. But since you're doing it again and taking the better one, then you're adding a full, basically, quarter, a full 25% likelihood of success to that dice roll. And from what I understand, that mathematical increase, not the plus 5, that's specific to d20s, but the increase in likelihood of success of 25%, whatever that amounts to on whatever dice you're using, it holds true regardless of whatever type of dice you're using. So if you were doing a D10s instead of a D20s type game, it's still it is an increase in statistical likelihood of success by 25% if you roll two and take the better dice. Same thing if you roll two, take the worst dice, you're 25% more likely to fail if you apply the same sort of disadvantage.
Now, important thing to keep in mind with all these percentages and stuff. So it's not saying you're 25%, like, you don't add that to your original probability. For example, like, if you needed to roll a really high number, getting advantage isn't, like, an automatic success. It just means you're much more likely. It could still be a 3% chance of actual success.
Right.
Instead of a 3, though, you might originally have had a, I'm not going to do the math on that, but less than 3% chance.
Yeah. Well, it's fairly easy. So if you say you were just rolling one dice, but you needed a 20.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's 1 in 5.
Right.
Before you add like modifiers, whatever. That's a 1 in 5% chance. Increasing that by 25% is not that much. That's not,
right?
5% of 20, or 5%.
It doesn't become 30% chance of success.
No, it becomes
whatever 5% times.
Yeah, whatever a quarter of 5% is.
Right.
So, you get up to like 6%.
7 or whatever, right? Round up to 7.
Mm-hmm.
But still, 7%, a lot higher than 5.
Yeah. That's a whole, whole integer. Mm-hmm. Two whole integers better than 5. So,
So, advantage is a really powerful thing, but it's not like a for sure thing, because statistics and percentages, they kind of, it's multiplication and division, not addition and subtraction.
Yeah.
So,
It's not automatically added onto the result. It is a, statistical increase or decrease in likelihood.
Right. But if you're using, difficulties kind of in the middle range, right, not the extremes. Like, if you're using difficulties of 12 and 15, advantage is pretty much, you're gonna succeed.
Yeah.
Here
it's close to guaranteed success.
Mm-hmm. And disadvantage is really, close to guaranteed failure. So, as a game master, when you want something to succeed, just popping an advantage on the dice roll and being like, all right, well, roll two dice and take the higher one.
Or when they deserve to succeed because someone had a someone really had a good idea. And is like, I've had this rope the whole time, and you said there was this here, so if I use the rope on this, we should be able to get across real easy, right? And they're like, yeah, actually, that makes total sense. So then
take advantage.
Even though you do have to, like, you got to stick with the program and still ask for the roll, they have earned an advantage in that situation, so you give it to them, and yeah, you know, as the game master recognize their deserving of success in this situation.
Yes. So, knowing that advantage is powerful, and it results in about a like plus five statistically. Knowing that, does it feel different, Cosmo, to say, you know, roll two dice, take the higher one? Does it feel different than just saying take a plus five on your next roll?
Yeah. Well, yes. Yes, it does for a couple of different reasons. For the, you know, for me as the game master, you still want to... You know, you kind of still want to, like, abide by the dice, so you tell them, roll twice, take the better result. But there is still, you know, every number has a even chance of coming up, so, you know, they could roll ones on both of them. And the probability of that happening is infinitesimal for those for that to happen right in a row, but that infinitesimality kind of lies to you because it is still... equally likely every single time. It just becomes less likely when you stack them on top of each other. So, you know, as a game master, yeah, it feels different to award one rather than the other, because just giving them a blanket plus five, which is not guaranteed, that's much more like handing it to them. But as the player, you might want that. You know, you might be like, well, I did advantage. I did the smart thing, so I kind of want the sure thing. And instead of rolling two dice, give me the sure plus five.
Right. Even though they are statistically the same, it feels... Well, I think it's the... For me, it's like the idea of failure. So, like, if I have to roll twice, what if I roll bad both times?
Yeah.
I rather just roll bad once, right? I rather have the plus five and then roll a three and still and fail, but at least I didn't roll a three and a five.
Yeah. A three and a five is, you know,
it's disheartening.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's
embarrassing.
Embarrassing. You see, that's exactly right. It is embarrassing, but it shouldn't be, because it's not like you did something. It's not like you rolled the dice wrong.
You just rolled the dice. The dice has no control over itself, and the results are, you know, equally likely.
So, and something
except
else.
Except they're not, and that's the thing that just fucking, like, it's a hard thing to wrap your mind around, is that, yeah, with, like, true random number generation and evenly weighted dice should be that, right? Or it effectively is that. It is effectively true random number generation. Then, you know, those likelihoods, those probabilities should reset every single time, you know, you pick up the dice. But then, you know, if you actually do stack multiple rolls on top of each other and calculate the probability, then you're like, oh, it's, you know, there's like a 2% chance in all of creation that you could, you know, actually roll a, you know,
2 20s in a row.
Yeah, 2 20s in a row. But, you know, sometimes it just happens, and it happens because that 2% is not like odds. Odds, statistics, probability, they're all like, they're all slightly different and, you know, fucking irritating.
Yeah. Which brings up a great point. When thinking about dice math and role-playing games, we think it's much more important to think about the statistical effect rather than the individual probabilities.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, on the advantage, roll two dice, take the better one. Instead of thinking about it as, like, oh, well, difficulty is a 15, and so if you roll two dice and take the higher one, you have a 58% chance or whatever it was.
Yeah.
There's plenty of online resources that do all the hard math for you. Yeah, this is where we got all our numbers.
You can just look up a table and be like, oh, with advantage, what is the statistic, what is the percentage probability of each result occurring? Well, that's not actually very fucking helpful.
It's not. What's helpful is knowing that it's like saying you have a +5 to this roll. Because that's something a normal, regular, I don't know if I should have used those terms, an average. How about average?
Average.
Average game master will understand better.
Yeah.
If you're not like a total math head, knowing, oh, +5, that's a pretty big modifier. That's a pretty big plus.
Yeah.
So that's what it means when I say have an advantage. You know, if your difficulty is 15, that's huge. That it's much more likely success. So there are other types of advantage, which kind of lead into the dice pool thing. Yeah. So some game systems give you like a smaller denomination of dice, right? And be like, oh, take a extra +6 on your next roll. So roll a d20 and a d6. Mm-hmm. And
even
add them together.
You know, like famously, Dungeons and Dragons, a D20 fantasy system, has several functions which allow you to add a, you know, a D4 or a D6, because you know
a spell or something.
Yeah, the bard in your party gives you some sort of buff or whatever.
Yeah, some buff.
And we already kind of were talking about dice pools because the second you're rolling two dice for either advantage or disadvantage, you are. You're talking about a dice pool of some sort.
A dice pool is multiple dice.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, when a game is talking about dice pool, it is you are using all the dice to do the roll or the check or whatever, rather than, you know, dropping, you know, one dice. But sometimes they do say, you know, drop the two lowest or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
This is actually a pretty good example of it. So in the beginning days of Dungeons and Dragons, you went down the line for your six they fucking call it abilities, and it's fucking stupid. It's attributes. They're your character's attributes. Abilities are things that your character can do. I think.
Yeah.
But whatever. So you would go down the line and you would roll 3d6 for each one. And you would combine those together, and that would be your
value,
your score, in that attribute. And then from that, there was a weird calculation that you did to get your modifier. But and the thing that changed, I don't know, at some point, I'm not a D&D historian when this happened, but they started to do roll 4d6, and then drop the lowest one. So with any dice denomination, using the D6 that we have in this example, if you were to roll it 1,000,000 times and then divide that total result by 1,000,000, you'd get 3.5, theoretically. You would get the middle of the spread of numbers, 1 through 6, except...
But you can't go to 0 on a dice.
But you can't... Yeah, you can't go to 0. So, and so
that's why there's the 0.5 in there.
3.5. is what you would get on sixes. So when you roll, when you add another dice to the dice pool, you increase the likelihood of average roll results by, you know, spreading it out. And then, so you add that fourth dice, you get all of them, and then you drop the low one, you're just slightly increasing the average of every single time you do it. Now, you still might get a bad ability score. Yeah. You still might get a 5.
It is possible to, roll ones on all four of your sixes, or your D6s.
And then, well, you drop the lowest one. That just means drop any one of them, and that's what you got. You know.
Bummer. Sucks to suck, am I right? Right.
But that is the... that was the original thought process behind that, is that... You know, you would roll 3d6. That would give you a spread, 3 to 18. You would probably be somewhere in the middle, around 9 or 10. More like 10 or 11, because 3.5, not 3. So most stats would be around 10 or 11, but you would have some high, some low.
Right.
And that would be the, you know, the things that make your character different. Cool. Then adding the fourth dice and dropping the lowest number, that increases the overall average. So that is the general thinking behind dice pools. And sometimes dice pools are used not just to calculate attribute values, scores, whatever. They're also used as the, like, resolution system for ability checks and stuff.
Right. So, and, like, adding advantage sometimes can be create a dice pool, mm-hmm. right? Like, have an extra D4, extra D6. So, if we think back to what we were talking about and, like, the statistical effects, right? So, adding a dice to a dice pool increases its average by that, you know, whatever that average denomination is, right? So if you are rolling a d20 and your game master says, take a d6 advantage, roll a d6 and add it to your d20 roll.
Mm-hmm.
What that is saying is, on average, you just gave that player a plus 3.5.
Right.
And of course, because it's only one d6 and you're only rolling it once, there's going to be a huge...
There's a big spread in there.
Right? Because it's just as likely to be a 1 as it is a 6.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, 3.5 isn't even a face
right.
on that dice.
But that's why, because it's just as likely to get a 1 as a 6. So what's in between those two?
Right.
That's why that is, you know, it is an average increase of 3.5 per dice that you add.
Right. So think about that when awarding dice as, like, advantage, when you're like, yeah, take an extra D8, or, you know, roll 2 D4s.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the statistical effects, and that will help you with the game design, right? Like, because that's the important nugget here, is let's put it on the board.
Board.
When you're trying for an effect, like, you want your player to succeed because they had a good idea, right? There are ways to boost that roll. If you want to, you know, not necessarily punish your player is the wrong word, but if you want to make it extra dramatic and have your player fail, disadvantage can be given.
Yeah.
And it has a powerful effect depending on how you use it, right? If you say, all right, roll a D8 and subtract that number from your D20 roll, that is... 4.5, you basically effectively gave them a minus 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
On average, of course. Yeah, so dice pools, not the only way, advantage is not the only way to use them. As Cosmo was saying, you can, or D&D use them and uses them still. It's still an option in character creation for 5e.
Yeah. Well, most D20 fantasy systems do some version of that, it seems like. And, yeah, for some reason it's the way that they did it in D&D. That's the way everyone... And it's fairly sound math, I guess.
Still don't sound too convinced on that.
Well, the part that I still don't understand is, like, what was the calculation that they did back in the 70s to get, you know, a plus zero modifier for a 10. Your score is 10, so you get a zero modifier. And then how that spreads in either direction as negative and positive numbers. And it doesn't really matter, because once you set those modifiers in stone and build the rest of the game around it, like with, you know, the AC of monsters and the hit point values and the stat values of monsters compared to the stat values of player characters. Like, once you set up what it is and then build the rest of the game around it, it doesn't really matter how you got to those numbers, as long as everything is consistently built around those numbers. But, you know, I still don't know, and I think we probably never will know what these, you know, 70s era war gamers inventing role-playing games for the first time were, what their thought process was behind calculating attribute scores this way and then modifiers off of them. I don't know. So I can't say for sure whether it was good or not. Is it good math or bad math? But if it's consistent across the entire game, then it kind of doesn't matter, I guess.
Yes. So for dice pool... I don't know how to get back to the... the path on that one.
Sorry, it was thinking about a different aspect of this.
So... one thing I want to talk about in dice pools was importance for game design. Dice pools, yes, it increases the average, and it also increases like the minimum or the lowest possible, if you will. Right, if you roll three dice, you're gonna get at least three.
Hmm.
Right, there's a chance that all of your dice. Doesn't matter what denomination they are. They all roll ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance of that happening. But there is 0% chance of rolling a two.
Yeah.
With three dice.
Yeah, so you kind of... One thing a dice pool does is, like, it absolutely cuts out the low end of the, mm-hmm. of the result pool. You cannot roll less than... You are rolling dice.
Yes. Which is important for damage, which brings us to our last point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we also... we recycle in this house.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I got distracted. going green up in here. Okay, so, damage,
this
right?
is full of paper.
Yeah, but like... What do you think? We can recycle paper now? That's crazy. We're still years away from that technology. So damage is a great example of using multiple dice, which is essentially a dice pool, because it increases that average and that, you know, minimum roll, right? So example, rolling a D12 versus 2d6.
Yeah.
Which one would you rather have for damage? Obviously the 2d6.
Yeah. They
don't even come in here with that weak shit.
The maximum results are the same, right? 12.
Mm-hmm.
But the individual probability of each result between 1 and 12 are significantly altered and shifted upwards.
Right.
One, you can't roll a 1.
Yep.
On 2d6.
2d6, can't roll a 1.
You just...
0% chance.
Yeah. You can't do it. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. On that d12, though, 1 in 12 chance.
Yep.
It's going to be a 1.
So that 1 is on the table. As an option. And that spread of... what's 12 in percent?
8. Ish, 8.5 or something
eight
like
something.
That.
Something, yeah. Okay, so with a D12, you're looking at 8.5% for each result on the dice. Let's go with that, and just speak confidently.
It's close enough.
Yeah. it means that the high results dealing high damage mm-hmm. are significantly less likely. But if you are rolling 2d6s, where the average result... So take the average result of a d6 is 6.5. Divide the total number of faces in half and then 0.5 because you mm-hmm. can't go to zero
yep.
on a dice. Do the same thing. So 6.5 with a d12. Do the same thing on a 2d6. 3.5. You get slightly higher.
Mm-hmm.
Your average results are slightly higher. And they continue to get more and more, less slightly, and more higher the more mm-hmm. dice you add to a
yeah.
pool. So an even better version of that is 3d4. 3d4, 2d6, 1d12, mm-hmm. you're getting, the same thing. It's a spread of...
Right, maximum stays the same.
A spread of damage up to 12, but the average results of more dice increases the likelihood of rolling higher, and with every dice you add to the pool, even though you're reducing the dice denomination down from a 12 to a 6, mm-hmm. a 6 to a 4, the bottom number, the spread gets smaller towards the high end because you can't roll a 1 or a 2 if you're rolling 3d4s.
Yep. There is still something like animal brain is like, but like, oh, I could just roll 1d12 and just roll a 12. I could just roll a 12. Like, yeah. I'm just going to roll a 12 rather than rolling 3 4s.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, I'm better off with the 12.
It seems like, and this is, again, the statistical increase in probability versus the probability of individual results. You are less likely to get a 12 on 3d6 because...
3d4.
On 3d4. You're less likely to get 3 4s and add up to 12 because, each one has to happen individually. And when you stack those probabilities on top of each other, they decrease in probability because probability is fucking stupid. But your average results across the board increase.
Yeah.
You're more likely to do more damage
per roll
consistently. The more you increase the dice pool.
Right. So, when talking about damage in dice pools, all you players out there, you should want more
smaller dice. Yeah.
Now, try to resist the gambler's urge that we just spoke about of being like, yeah, but like, I'm just going to roll a 12.
Yeah. Oh, it's the same. Well, it's not. You're actually putting two bad numbers back in play that weren't in play.
Yeah. So
if you were rolling 3d4.
If you want to do consistent high damage, use a lot of small dice. That is on the board now. Pew.
Consistently above average, I would say. You're less likely to crit.
Above average.
You're less likely to max out your damage.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, are you? It's all the same every single time, but... Eh. But you are you're eliminating the low end of the spread.
Mm-hmm.
So you're more likely to hit above average results in the spread of 1 to 12 in this specific example. But it holds true for everything else.
Yeah. Not really... Well, not a direct, like... Oh, I don't know why I thought of it here. We could have talked about this at any point during the dice pools. Rolling... So, like, for all you game heads out there, probably have shitloads of dice and can probably roll 3d4.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, because you have multiple sets of dice, because it's just hard not to. But if you are really disciplined or just getting into the hobby and you don't have multiple sets of dice, rolling the same dice multiple times is the same as rolling 3 dice all at once.
Yeah.
Right? There's no statistical change.
Yeah. There is no mathematical difference between those two things because we're not looking at the increased or decreased likelihood of repeating results. We are adding results together,
right? And like rolling a 4 on a d4 doesn't mean that dice is out of fours.
Yeah,
right. That 4 rolling that dice again, you have the same chance of getting a 4. It's not like, oh, well, I got a 4 last time, so I'm not going to get a 4 this time.
Yeah.
Probably true, just because it's a 1 out of 4 chance, but it's not... Don't fall into the superstition, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Rolling multiple dice or rolling a single dice multiple times, same.
Should be the same.
It is fun to roll multiple dice at once, though. Have a big handful of dice and
roll it, and then, or like turn a cup over, and then, all right, count up how many of them are above what I need. Yeah. Right.
How many blaster symbols do I have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any more to say on damage, dice pools, advantage?
No.
Anything. Dice math.
I did think of something partway through this, but this is... well, one, I don't really know if it's interesting, and two, we would probably need to look up some other stuff. I was thinking about games that don't use dice. Like, there's a couple of kind of, you know, cowboy-themed games that use a deck of playing cards, mm-hmm. and how that is... What a deck of playing cards is essentially, like, four D13s, but they're not D13s, because if you, you know, take the whichever one you draw and then set it aside, then you're removing it.
You're removing it, and then
becomes, you know, so if you remove whatever, like, oh, the three of hearts, okay, well, now the heart suite is no longer a...
Right, there's only 12 hearts
it's,
in there.
Yeah, it's no longer a D13, it's a D12, and that changes every time, and... But I've never...
We don't fuck with cards.
Honestly, it sounds obnoxious, but I know that stuff exists, and we try to speak holistically about games and the hobby.
I think it was, yeah, very interesting to bring up. Because, yeah, not all games use dice. That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Still have some probability randomness thing, right? Like a deck of cards. Yeah. That's still a
shuffled deck of cards still has the same like mathematic principle of
probability.
You don't know what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And anything has an equal chance of being the first thing that you draw.
Yeah.
Which makes everything have a really small chance of being the first thing that you draw. But,
Yeah, the important thing there is whether you're using a deck of cards or a dice, probability is involved, and it's interesting to think about, and it's a game design thing, because without randomness and probabilities, it would just be a novel.
Yeah. Which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. People love books.
People do be loving books.
Go do one of those if you want to.
This episode brought to you by books.
Books.
Go read them. Support your local library. That's an important thing.
Yep.
Cancel
your fucking Audible subscription.
Yep. Cancel that. Get something else. There are good alternatives out there. Funnily enough, if you're listening to this on Audible or Amazon Music, consider not. We're in other spaces. Yeah. Like, go get us on Spotify or
free podcatchers.
Free podcast things.
No ads. And no revenue. I mean, no revenue sharing with them, but also we don't have any revenue.
Yeah, we don't have any revenue to share.
So, get fucked, Megacorps. We've got no money for you to get from us.
We got it all figured out. They can't take our money if we don't have any money.
Exactly. All right, let's recap
real quick. We are talking about dice math, ability checks, right? There are two main categories, meet or exceed a target, or roll under a target. We talked about the elegance of the under target rolls, kind of a neat little thing, how the stat, your like character stat becomes the difficulty, which is just, you know, elegant.
Yeah.
Rather than a mysterious number that some guy in the 70s did one calculation and then everything was built on that.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Anyways.
Maybe someone explained it somewhere, but
yeah.
I don't know.
So then we talked about advantage and how that fucks with dice math. Like, classic advantage, roll two dice, take the better result. Statistically changes the roll and like gives the character or the, you know, the roll a +5
mm-hmm.
When you roll two dice and take the better one, or -5 if you're at disadvantage.
Yep.
And we kind of discussed differences in advantage, like, you know, giving them a D6 or a D4 or, you know, something else.
Mm-hmm.
Which brought us... Oh.
If you recognize that it's essentially a +5, we're like, well, maybe that's too much. And mm-hmm. you change advantage, so it's not multiple dice anymore. I'll just give you a +2 mm-hmm. or a -2. because you want to dial in the difficulty a little bit more. That just, you know, that is something you can do if you understand what those...
Right. If you know that rolling two, taking the better one, is a plus five as your baseline, you can really say, hone
actually,
it in.
No, we don't roll multiples anymore. I'll change it.
Mm-hmm. I'll just throw you a plus three. Because I don't want you to have a whole plus five, but I do want you to have something.
To have some advantage. Yeah,
plus three. Which brought us to dice pools, rolling multiple dice. That changes the dice math by increasing the minimum and raising the average. So you roll higher consistently, which is good. Mm-hmm. But it does like decrease those maximum swings, right? You know, the chance of rolling maximum damage has decreased. But so, but low damage have been eliminated, right? Like you can't roll a one with multiple dice. It is impossible, which is important for damage, right? You don't want to do one damage to the monster trying to kill
you. Right. You want to do as much as you can consistently. And that might mean that consistently average results are better than occasional critical hits.
Yeah. So that's what we recommended when dealing with damage. You want to roll as many dice as you can. So go for those weapons with the 3d4 rather than the 1d12.
Yeah. The 2d8 greatsword in D&D, I believe, is what it is.
I believe that is the best weapon in the game, statistically.
Yeah.
For damage. Maybe not the coolest. Maybe not your character's favorite.
Hmm. And I think we're going to talk about... We're going to get at that idea a little bit in the next episode.
Ooh.
That we've got. That,
a little, you know, it a might little not be, preview cliffhanger.
It might not be optimal or favorite or whatever, but you know, there's other considerations, I guess, besides necessarily like the best average dice result over many, many dice rolls.
Yes.
So
stay tuned next time for that spicy little meatball.
Yep. If you like what you hear, head on over to 2HGM.com. First thing you'll see is a link to Afterlife on DriveThruRPG, our original post-apocalyptic role-playing game system, setting, everything, all in one cool book with available, a free PDF.
Yep, available print and get the PDF for free, or you can just buy the PDF. That's cool, too.
Yep.
Join up Patreon. They support us there. We need support. We like support. We're going to keep doing it anyways, though, so, like...
Probably, yeah.
Fuck off.
If we got anything to talk about. But if you want to, like, get in on it, Patreon. It's the way to do it. Help us out.
Right. The Discord. That's one of the big incentives of Patreon, I forgot to mention.
Kind of the main one is, we do Discord stuff. But, you know, and then the opportunity to collaborate or, you know, directly talk to us about RPG stuff. And suggest or even guest on episodes.
True.
Stuff like that.
We pull our guests from our Discord because we don't know anybody else, / when we try to reach out, nobody ever responds.
Yeah, it's fine.
Anyways, real quick, recommendation, books.
Books.
Read them.
Yeah. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pontillo's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. We will see you next time.
See you next time.